You're listening to Stand Tall and Own It, the podcast for high-performing female leaders who are ready to make an impact by discovering the safety that comes from understanding their own value and exercising their own authority. I'm your host, Andrea Johnson, and I'm here to tell you it is time to just truly be you, my strong friend. It's time to stand tall and own it. Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Stand Tall and Own It. I'm your host, Andrea Johnson. And today we're going to dive in just a little bit further to the Enneagram. I'm going to make this a little bit more personal and share with you my experience and how it's helped me to stand tall and own it. But just as a reminder, I'm doing this series on different personality typing things, if you will, because 2022 and 2023 were really rough for several reasons. But these tools are things that actually helped me lay a foundation to get through some of that, helped me to grow through a lot of the things that were very, very difficult. And when I had a couple of people say, how did you lead through these times of survival when you felt like you were in survival mode? I'm like, oh, well, I had this and this and this. Let me tell you about some of the things that I've used for myself. Now, the last episode with Jackie Brewster was all about the Enneagram. Wasn't she great? We talked about the interpersonality of the Enneagram and how it can be instrumental in bringing healing. And I shared that I saw this in my personal relationships, my marriage, my family, my church. And I'd like to expound on that just a little bit today. She really explained it well in talking about how you can work through the relationships in your marriage and in different business relationships when we're talking about leadership. But for me, I saw this show up in the relationships most quickly in my church. And I started the Enneagram work before this time. So I had kind of done a little bit of work. I knew a little bit about me and what I was and how I would identify in the Enneagram, but I didn't really have a deep understanding of it. And so when my husband said, for Wednesday night, would you like to study The Road Back to You by Ian Morgan Cron? After a little bit of a kerfuffle with some people, the rest of us said, yes, please. And so we did. And this was an opportunity for us to study a book from a Christian perspective. For those of you who are not from a faith-based background, that part may not matter to you. But for us, it mattered a lot because, number one, we were doing it in our church. But number two, we wanted to view things from that lens. And this book, The Road Back to You, it is by Ian Morgan Cron and Suzanne Stabile. And it is literally a simple walkthrough of all the 9 types and helps you ask questions of yourself that kind of give you the answers to where do I find the motivation to act in ways that I act. And it's just fascinating to watch over a 10-week study and watch people start with one and think they're another and then kind of round it all up at the end and sit across the table from them and have them say, I had no idea I was a 2. I had no idea I was a helper. I had no idea. I think I'm a 7 or I'm a 9. And then it's like, I'm a 9. I'm a peacemaker. And just like Jackie shared, these are the goal of the Enneagram is not to label someone. It's not to tell you, well, here's your marching orders. It's not like having your colors done and you walk out with swatches and these are the only colors you buy. It's not like that at all. It's an opportunity for you to see, like she said, the patterns. We do this in a lot of these personality typing things, don't we? DISC is all about seeing patterns. And the Enneagram is about seeing patterns in different ways. It's different types of behavioral patterns. And one of the things I shared was that for me, it's the behavior patterns that I can see myself falling into that are what I would call coping mechanisms. So if you have, she shared, I think one of her clients was doing some retail therapy. And if you have a coping mechanism that you use to get through hard times or to manage stress or conflict, that's the kind of thing that will help you uncover and kind of tease out. Early on in my life, a coping mechanism was eating. And I have shared before that I developed bulimia and depression. I probably was bulimic starting earliest, probably around 5th or 6th grade. And there were a lot of things that contributed to that, but that was my coping mechanism. And it ended up years and years later, I put myself in the hospital for bulimia and depression, but then that was some awareness, and that was the beginning of my personal growth journey. I've shared that before when I was 20. But then years later, having to start back over again and walk through gastric bypass in order to help me get all of that under control and have another tool under my belt that helped me. But being able to walk through with a group of people, a book that kind of helped us lovingly share who we are and what we identify with, was really helpful. And that was The Road Back to You. The second book we walked through was just by Suzanne Stabile, so the same co-author of the first book, but it was called The Path Between Us. And this is all about how you relate to other types. So it walks you through how ones relate to fours and how fours relate to sixes and how sixes relate to nines, etc. And yes, it's a very high level, but if you're looking for something that kind of walks you through how it works, this is very helpful. So this gave us an awareness in our church body and in my family, especially my nuclear family, to say, oh, that's why you don't have any energy at the end of Sunday morning, my husband, Steve, who is a nine, who has the lowest amount of energy of all the types. And so I've started driving my husband home. I've started driving home from church. I even drive on Wednesday nights because I have the energy to do that and he does not. So little things like that, but even just within the church family to say, that's right, this person's not being cold or overreacting or whatever in any given circumstance. They are this type, right? So it's like, oh, they're a perfectionist or they're a moral, I forget what she called the one. It wasn't somebody that I had heard, a label that I had heard before. But being able to understand the different types of people you're in relationships with really gives you, it's not just about communication, it's about motivation and understanding why people respond in certain ways. In my immediate family, like I said, my son, we believe, is a seven. So when it's all about talking about feeling safe, my son will pull away when he doesn't feel safe. I can be loud sometimes, and that's just how I am. And I mean, I was a cheerleader, and so a lot of times, and I use this example in other areas, especially when talking about DISC, but when someone doesn't understand me, a lot of times I will just get louder, which doesn't always work. A lot of times we need to use different words, a different language or a different modality to speak with them. But I will do that. And even when I speak sternly, now granted he's 15, so there are times I'm going to speak sternly, he says, stop yelling at me. And what I didn't understand about him as a small child before he could really respond in ways that told me this is too much conflict for me, he would just withdraw. And even just listening to Jackie talk about how she would pull away from things in order to feel safe, and how potentially my sister, who is maybe a seven, would pull away from and become more independent, that's my son. And being able to see that really helps me remember, all right, so I don't necessarily need to worry about him pulling away for a minute, but I do need to come check on him every so often to make sure that he's okay. My husband, who is a nine, when he doesn't feel safe, he shuts down. You can literally see the shield come down over his face. It's like all of a sudden being in the room with the Mandalorian. This is the way, right? He's just down. And to understand when he gets that way, I got to back off. Because I can push, right? I'm a woman. I'm a strong woman. I can push. But for me, when I need to feel safe, if I don't feel safe, I double down on the rules or the accepted authority. And to be able to remind myself, no, Andrea, you're okay. You have the ability to function within this family. This is a safe place to function. Tell them how you're feeling. Don't isolate yourself. And don't just say, well, these are the rules we agreed on. Because I do that. We actually have some rules that are on the refrigerator. But as a reminder in leadership, the very first person you lead is yourself. So when I say I use the Enneagram to help lead myself, let me give you a couple of examples that will sound familiar to you if you listen to me at all. Let's put it in core values language. When I talk about my core values, this is how they show up in or are translated into the Enneagram and how I have been able to see a better expression of my core values by using the Enneagram as a tool and growing healthier in that space. My number one core value, as I've said before, is freedom, usually within thoughts. And being able to, as a, and I don't know if I shared all of this, If you're an Enneagram person, then you'll know what I mean when I say I'm a self-preservation, which means I'm all about making sure I'm safe. Counterphobic, meaning I push back against authority. 6, loyalist. Wing 7, enthusiast, which that's where some of my happy, fun, sunny stuff comes from. But with all of that, the thing that I don't do is I don't trust myself. It's natural in an unhealthy state for me to not trust myself or my thoughts. So when I say my core values, my top core value is freedom, the freedom of thought means I get to tell myself, Andrea, your thoughts have weight and value. My thoughts are valid and good. I can think through things and actually come to a good conclusion and resolution all by myself. I'm good at this. My second core value of authenticity is I get to be me, and I'm good enough to be me. It means I can trust myself to make decisions, to be me, to be kind. I have this kind of, I don't know, on again, off again, decision experiment that I do, especially in my business, because this is, entrepreneurship is scary. What on earth is a 6 doing out here in entrepreneurship, right? But what I do is I walk through and make myself look at all of the scenarios and go through these decision trees. Remember, I have freedom of thought. My thoughts have weight and value. I can do this and it's okay to be me. I can trust myself. So I actually walk through and try to make decisions without asking anybody else for help. That's huge for me. Huge. But the Enneagram and understanding myself and in the language of the Enneagram has helped me get there and helps me make decisions. Even sometimes when I talk them out, my friends, those around me, are learning to not necessarily give me advice. They're just kind of letting me talk, and then I make the decision, and then they're like, yay! So this is what we talk about, having a supportive environment as well. But my third core value of belonging, here's the thing. As a 6, in the language of the Enneagram, I always want to have a group that I belong to. And I've shared before about the deconstruction of my institutional beliefs and the trappings that come along with what I would call evangelicalism, but not my faith, right? My faith is really strong. And but I felt like in order to be safe, I had to espouse all of these different things. I had to espouse all of the different pieces of conservative evangelical theology or dogma or even just practice, as well as all of the conservative political stuff that went along with that. And being able to deconstruct that and then say to myself, wait a minute, Andrea, guess who you belong, but guess who you belong to? You belong to you. It is enough to just belong to me. If you want to put that in Christian terms, I also belong to God. I can also belong to other groups, like even my marriage, without espousing outside systems of belief, meaning it is okay for me and my husband to disagree. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, Andrea, I can get to the space of not agreeing with my husband and having a really good relationship with him, or my spouse, or my business partner, or my friend. I don't have to go through all the Enneagram stuff. No, you may not need to. This may not be your tool. That's okay. But it has been very helpful for me, helping me understand myself, my own motivation, and be able to say, I don't have to espouse all of the belief system over here to still belong with many of these people who also have their faith as a flag and as something that is super strong. And, you know, my sister and I, now we really say, yeah, we don't agree on many of these things, but we agree that we love each other. We agree that we are family. We agree on many of the things of our faith. So that's how, talking in core value language, that's how the Enneagram shows up for me and how it's helped me to actually express my core values more efficiently and in a much richer way, right? Doesn't that sound a little more rich? Now, when it comes to awareness, Jackie and I talked a lot about awareness, and I talk about our ABCs, being aware of our assumptions, beliefs, and conditioning. And for me, assumptions were, as an unhealthy Enneagram 6, being able to say, or always saying, I just really don't have anything to offer, or, you know, coming with something really valuable, just kind of hat in hand saying, you could maybe, if you're interested, maybe try this. It's like, you don't make any sales as an entrepreneur doing that, let me tell you. And you don't get any keynotes doing that, and you don't get any podcast guesting doing that. But when I jettison the assumption that I have nothing to offer and say, wait, what? No, you have so much to offer. You have you to offer. And what you have to offer has value, going back to understanding who I am. The beliefs that I've, the way this shows up in beliefs is that deconstruction piece, being able to deconstruct the institutional systems and say, I don't know that I agree that any of this is valid. I don't have to listen to that theologian or that politician or this politician. I can actually have my own beliefs, and that is enough. And it's good. And, you know, I'm good with that. But there are plenty of beliefs that when I am aware what I am doing, when I am aware of how I am trying to plug into different systems, and I notice this in myself every day, it is a pattern. Just the other day, I noticed myself wanting to plug in with a specific group of women who were doing something that I was not included in. And I remember thinking, and this is how it shows up for me, they don't like me. I am not included. It didn't occur to them to invite me. How about they might think I'm not interested? How about because I'm standing over in the corner, they don't think I'm interested? How about all of those other things? And being able to say, that's those assumptions and those beliefs are not helpful. And if I stand in a healthy place and say, ooh, I do have a lot to offer. I have valid thoughts. And the reality is I don't need to be doing those things and accepted in those areas to also belong in a different way with that group of women was empowering for me in that moment. Looking at my conditioning, oh my goodness, Jackie talked about nature versus nurture. And almost any good coach and any tool for any personality typing is going to talk about some kind of nature versus nurture because we're all wired in specific ways. That's your baseline. But your experiences matter and what happened to you matters. You might be somebody who didn't have a lot of traumatic experiences in your childhood, which means you have a much shorter road to really healthy expression of who your personality is than I did, or than my sister or my husband or anybody or your neighbor, right? Or your pastor, quite frankly. So understanding, being able to look back and say, okay, this is the conditioning that I had. And because I was trying to plug into all those belief systems, now I can just like say, aha, okay, I'm gonna short circuit that particular one. I'm gonna stop that that trigger or that what is it? My son played Minecraft for a long time, and he would build these loops of a firing pin or something that would make something happen. And every time you tripped the switch, it would fire or do something. It was really kind of fun, and it taught him a lot about logic. But disrupting that circuit, I think, is really important and really hard. So when we understand our conditioning through the lens of the Enneagram, we can see our motivations for responding in certain ways and being able to just slow those things down. So what has the Enneagram allowed me to stand tall and own? Well, for starters, I shared with Jackie my intentional optimism, my tenets of intentional optimism. I'm probably going to do a little rewriting on those because of where I am today, but they really were a roadmap for me to become a healthy six. They were a roadmap to a healthy emotional expression, to healthy showing up in the world, to being courageous, to allowing myself to be me and not worry about being like anybody else. And so if you find yourself saying, oh, I might need that. Well, I have, what is intentional optimism? It's easy to download. It's free. But it's helped me to say all of those things that intentional optimism entails, those things that I said when I lost my mother, I said, I don't want to end my life wishing I had done something different. I am going to, you know, it kind of gives you that idea or that awareness that life is shorter than you think. And being able to say, I'm now going to espouse these things, I think being able to look back and say, wow, that was really, the language for that is definitely Enneagram language. And I had no idea, right? But being able to say as well, I have something to offer. My thoughts matter. And it is safe for me to think my own thoughts. And I have something to say. Well, this podcast alone is a microphone and a big megaphone for the idea that this unhealthy six left that behind and said, I have something to say, and I'm going to say it. So this podcast itself through both its iterations of Intentional Optimists, Unconventional Leaders, and now Stand Tall and Own It, is a testament to my growth in that area. Now, this might not be your path. You might have another tool that helps you lay the foundations that you need for healing and growth that will get you through whatever tough times lay ahead. It might be that DISC works better for you, or that something else works better for you. I would love to know, is the Enneagram a tool that you want to utilize? Because if it is, there's lots of books. I've shared several in this particular episode and in the last episode. They're all in the show notes. There's Instagram follows, there's podcasts to listen to. I am not the expert when it comes to Enneagram, but guess what? I know people who are. So if you want help, let me know. Now, if you've already started using the Enneagram as a tool, I would love to know how it's helped you stand tall and own who you are. So please DM me, comment, or reply on the post that promotes this particular episode. Share it to your stories, tag someone, let me know. Email me at Andrea@theintentionaloptimist and tell me either this really resonated and I need to know more, where's the best place to start, and I'll start pointing you in directions that maybe will get you started. Or if you're on YouTube, subscribe and share this so that more of us can stand tall and own it together in ways that are authentic to ourselves and that we can be the most healthy expression of who we have been designed to be. Until next time. Are you one of those people who follows all the rules but still feel like you're getting nowhere? Like your boundaries are constantly under attack and you're busy with all this stuff that just doesn't matter, constantly choosing between what's right for you or what's right for your organization? And with all that self-help information out there, how do you know exactly what's going to work for you to help you overcome this stuff? Well, you can clear the clutter and become the exceptional leader you were meant to be when you know your core values. You see, when you don't, decisions are rough. Processes can be muddy, and boundaries, forget it. But when you do, you live and lead with authenticity and passion. Just imagine feeling clear about your decisions, comfortable in your relationships, and confident in your boundaries. That's what my Uncovering Your Core Values digital course will do for you. You'll reveal your foundational convictions, allowing you to navigate any situation with your identity and authority intact. It's time to make some real impact, my friend. Head over to theintentionaloptimist.com/values or click the link in the show notes and get clarity today.